The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Matt Cox writes it.
Paul Perillo.
I wish it wasn't a complete stranger, because I'd get on the next flight to Green Bay and find that SOB if I knew his name.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make Cox bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Zach, and I don't want to say the name of his town, but
why don't you spell it out for us?
Well, it's cock and tape.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo! All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm back.
Seems like I've been out forever.
I know. We have been gone forever.
Three shows, right?
Fans are, I'm no doubt, very glad to hear that voice back. Jake Steele, Cadillac crime fighter.
Well, from the emails, what was going on last week?
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Nothing out of the ordinary?
No. B-Lo came down for a couple of days, and he took a beating.
Did he?
Well, you forgot No Socks, too.
He took a beating.
Oh, yeah. No Socks. I saw one email that...
No Socks took a bit of a beating, too.
I saw one email that said they'd rather have Brian Morey than No Socks.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I actually thought the day that No Socks came down, he brought something to the table.
Like No Socks. No Socks has opinions.
They had... Ty Law last Monday
sat
down and spoke with Patriots Today. So he came down to sort of talk about Ty Law's candidacy or lack thereof as a Hall of Famer.
Hey, what's
Pro
up,
football?
Bill? How you doing?
Yeah.
And that's what we talked about. And evidently that didn't go well with, one guy.
No Socks ended up winning our poll, Paul, on Facebook. He ended up passing B-Lo in terms of like the least like guest on PFW.
Least like? Yeah. Who was the best fill-in guest?
We didn't have one.
So we didn't ask the positive question. We just asked the negative.
Well, there was such an outlash.
Outlash?
Yeah. Backlash.
As
whatever.
Opposed to an eyelash? Or
hang on. He's here.
He's pounding the door. No Socks is pounding the door to get in.
He wants in.
He can't get enough.
All right. There he is.
Well, I'm back. 508-298.
Evidently, he's busy.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com, as always, is the email address. So if you want to chime in, this labor thing is still going on. I've been told that it could be anywhere from today to never from when it gets done. So, there's a couple snags, I think. One of them that just came up recently was this whole retirement thing.
Evidently, that's a big deal, and that's a lot of people talking about it. Ron Borges, our old friend.
Yeah, and I think that
writing a lot about it.
When you read Borges's claims, which are true, they're factual, it sounds worse than it actually, since 1970 when they had the merger, 71 or whatever it was, only 3,100 some odd players are receiving benefits, which doesn't seem like a lot. But, the formation of the Players Association was not a retirement thing. So Gene Upshaw, when he was alive, even said, my concern are with the active players. And so it's not like...
Well, this is not on the owners, all on the owners.
No.
This is on the players, too.
It's both sides haven't really...
And Borges wrote that. He said, when push comes to shove, in general, players go short term for themselves.
But I also think
I think he was putting it on the players too, just the owners.
No, I do. But in general, I think you have to look at the situations. First of all, you have to compare it to other sports. What are the other sports doing? Is the NFL that out of whack? I don't think so. And second of all, we talk about the average lifespan of a player is 3.5 years or whatever. Well, I mean, what reasonably can you do for retirement if the career of a player is that short? You can't give away the store and have a guy have pension for life for a 3.5 year career. So I think that you have to look at that fairly. So by just saying that only 3,100 players receive benefits, that's not the whole story.
I would think that there's got to be some sort of cutoff, some criteria.
I
don't know what that is.
But when you read that fact, you're like, wow, they're getting screwed.
Well, I mean, that's an absurdly low number in that time. There's 1,800 players in the league? 1,900 players in the league?
At any one time.
At 1 year.
Yeah, at any one time.
And you're talking about only a little more than that since 1970 benefits?
But, you know, what kind of benefits do they...
I don't know. I don't know all those details.
You know, I think in outside of sports, the day of pensions through your company are gone. You know, that's been replaced with, you know, 401ks and IRAs. You know, so the fact that they get anything, I think, is a little bit against the norm of, you know, today's business world. But then you factor in the lifespan and how much can you, you know, you play till you're 30 years old. You're supposed to get now for 40 years, you know, benefits. I don't know. It's not fair to, you know, to just simply say, oh, they don't care about the players. It's tough.
No, I don't think that's what it. I don't think that's what it is. But I agree. These are complicated issues, but this is sort of threatening to throw a big time monkey wrench in here. If depending on how that ruling goes with this separate lawsuit that the retired players go in, I'll let you talk about it because I don't know as much.
No, and I was thinking about that. You know, it could be a monkey wrench, except for the fact, as you said, it's both the players and the owners. Yeah. So they're almost together on this issue. So I don't think they're going to let it be a long-term monkey wrench. I think that, you know, neither side wants to look like bad guys, but they also want to keep it for themselves, both the players, existing players, and the owners. And one thing Borges did say that I agree with is that time after time, the players have always taken the short-term gain over the long-term because they don't think about when they're 50 or 60. And I think that'll be the case again.
And I think that's why the retired players chose now.
Right.
They're not letting this, you know, they know where this is going in the way that they've been negotiating now.
Right. But those retired players were once active players and they had their shot and they didn't do it. You know,
absolutely. So, and they deserve criticism too.
Right. So it's you know, other than that, you know, obviously the revenue thing is probably still one of the main issues. But from what I understand, you know, there was talk a couple weeks ago about owner versus owner faction. I don't think that is as much a problem as it was talked about a couple weeks ago. So,
well, it certainly seems that they have at least gotten their house in order in that regard.
Right. Other news came over the weekend. Brady, they had some NFL player poll, and I was a little surprised to see that Brady was voted by his peers the number one football player. You know, a guy, Darrell Revis and Ray Lewis hosted a show on NFL Network that presented
They presented them.
Yeah, they presented it.
They didn't host the show. They presented Brady.
Ray Lewis.
I wasn't surprised.
You weren't?
Just because of,
I thought he was hated.
You're going to be surprised to read my post then, which I said to no one's surprise. Just because reigning unanimous NFL MVP. I don't know how you can get above that. Despite the fact that website that we always talk about for some reason, we tend to discredit any and all the information that Pro Football Focus says that he's, 30 whatever in the league last year.
Right.
He was dead solid perfect.
Here's why
for an entire season.
Here's why I might have been duped into thinking that he wouldn't ever get an award like this, because the players that talk, you know, the Bart Scotts and the Terrell Suggs and those guys always have bad things to say about Brady.
But you did get duped into it. That's a good word. Because if you listen to those guys, I would put Darrell Revis and Ray Lewis into that category. Now, they're not wackos.
Lewis is
they're not wackos like Terrell Suggs.
Well, when we play the Ravens, he complains more about the refs than Brady. But Suggs
said
things about
Brady. But there's an amazing respect. Terrell Suggs respects the hell out of Tom Brady. I don't care what he says publicly.
I guess so.
I don't care what he says publicly.
Yeah.
All that stuff is different. He's able to separate. Ray Lewis and Darrell Revis, if you listen to their comments, this is how the league feels. To me, there can be no discussion. It's one or two guys. It's Brady or Manning. Manning had a down year for him last year.
Right.
And, you know, which I thought was interesting, Ross Tucker, our old friend, Patriot,
right.
Reserve offensive lineman, who's covering out a pretty good career for himself, by the way, as an analyst.
Yep.
He said Peyton Manning's 2010 might be the best bad year in the history of football. He threw for like 4,700 yards and a million touchdowns for a 10-6 team. You know, it wasn't like they were terrible and he just put up plastic numbers. He just, for him,
right,
he was bad. He threw a lot of interceptions and a lot of costly ones. You know, for him, it wasn't up to his standards, but I think most guys would take it. And Brady was the opposite. He was perfect all year, 36-4. I mean, that's something that, you know, maybe will never be broken.
Right.
With those kinds of numbers. I mean, someone might have a better ratio with fewer, you know, like 20 touchdowns and one pick.
Right.
But I don't know if you're going to get up to 36 and throw all those passes.
And there were a number of times you said, oh, that one should have been picked off, but they weren't.
Yeah, it's
and
a combination of it. You get the luck involved as well as playing at an incredibly high level.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I know that website says that, you know, all the passes that he throws are to wide open receivers, completely discrediting the quarterback's role in that.
Right.
You know,
and finding the open receiver.
Exactly.
Right.
You know.
Oh my God. But no, I will say that I was duped. I thought that, you know, guys were, you know, whether you want to call it resentment or jealousy or what have you, that, you know, guys wouldn't vote for somebody like Brady because he's just got it all. And I was wrong. I think that, you know, these players are smarter than you give them credit for.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of hatred for him around the league among the players. I think there's probably some jealousy, but I think the hatred, I think the fans of other teams hate Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, because he's so perfect. You know, much like, you know, I'm sure there were guys that I hated Dan Marino.
Now, but you love watching him.
Yeah, but right. I hated him because I was a Patriots fan and he killed me all the time. I hated Dan Marino. You know, for some reason, even though, you know, when John Elway was in the 80s, remember when the Patriots absolutely couldn't beat Denver?
Right.
I hated him.
Sure.
I hated the guy.
Yep.
There's a reason for it. I mean, these guys were great, and they weren't playing for you a team. So I think there's a lot of that among the fandom for Tom Brady. And then you couple in, you know, what is perceived to be the absolute perfect life with this perfect family and all the different places that he travels to and the opportunities that he gets as a result of being Tom Brady. There's a lot to hate there, a lot to be jealous of if you're just an average Joe. But I don't think the players all feel that way. I think there's some jealousy, you know, like Ray Lewis talking about the roughing the passer, you know, he's a man just like me and blah, blah, blah. I think there's probably some jealousy there, but if you've stepped on the field with Tom Brady, you respect him.
I had a dream last night.
Oh, great.
Giselle was in it.
Oh, for God's
sake. I was in her, it was an apartment that I guess she owned or something, and we were talking about giving to charities. And I said, you know, I said to her, you have to watch out. You know, when you give to one of these charities, then they all start looking and you get on their list. They go, You probably know that more than I do. And she laughed at me.
You're giving Giselle advice on
giving
charities.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, that was my little dream. I think she was getting dressed while we were talking too, but
seriously.
But that didn't seem to like be part of it. You know what I mean? She's just like changing clothes while we were talking.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, those
models.
Those models.
They don't care.
Those European, you know, model types. Yeah, you know, they're very free and open. Wasn't that the whole reason why she was kissing that guy?
Right.
That's what they do.
Right, that's what they do. All right, and what we do is we talk about Patriots for 2 hours every Tuesday and Thursday.
I'm just glad to have you back, Freddie. How was?
I'm glad to be back.
How was your time off?
It was good. I mean, I have to say the weather cooperated. There was threatening threats of rain every day. We were out there on the lacrosse field, but it never really came about. And even this weekend was amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was. We had a little bit of clouds and stuff on Sunday and some rain. But then yesterday was beautiful all day until the very end. There was like a quick passing thunderstorm. I don't know if that hit you.
Didn't even come down here.
But, I mean, it was literally like 10 minutes of rain and then that was it. And that was late in the day. It was like 7 o'clock.
Yep. So it was a good weekend. Good time off. You know, I get a little antsy, though. I worry about what's going on when I'm not here.
I know you do. And I did have an issue with that.
Did
one
you?
Of the things that you worried about.
What?
With the Brady thing, getting it on the blog. I had an issue. So one of the things you worried about was true, because I couldn't post from home.
What was the matter?
Well, I think I screwed up the link for the blog. I thought I had the right link for the blog, but it wasn't posting it in the right place. It was allowing me to log in, but I think it was the old blog.
Did you get that corrected?
Well, yeah, we got it up early Monday morning.
But did you? So
I'm going to resend it to my PC so I'll make sure I have the right
Chris
one.
Look at it.
Yeah. It was my error.
Yeah. And I have to
But
say,
I'm going to blame it on the new website anyway.
Sure. And thank you to John Cockrell, who, of course, one of our – John from L.A. and writer for In Plain Sight, who sent us all 8x10 shots of Mary McCormick autographed and personalized to each of us. So thank you for that. I'm looking at one right now. To the guys at PFW, thanks for watching IPS, Mary McCormick. And she's looking very good in the picture.
Yes.
By the way,
she's the best part of the show.
I saw the last episode, though. She's huge now.
Oh, yeah.
She's pregnant.
She's pregnant.
So
John had told us that. They
we don't know who the
working to write
the,
around it.
The husband is in the show. But, yeah, she's huge. I hope she gets her figure back. Well, that's always
I'm sure she does, too.
It's always a concern, right? But they have good trainers that get them right back, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie. I don't think they have to worry
but,
about
But, you know, some have problems.
Our little concerns.
Some have problems. They never really regain it. So,
But I do want to thank John for telling Mary that, I had an argument with a woman in the line at Babies R Us, and that was part of my personalized autograph.
Right.
Thanks, John.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Let's check out the phone lines right now. Nick is on the phone. He's a Facebook contributor. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
So you chose to go the old-fashioned route rather than Facebook today.
Nick, are you the Kevin Basher?
That's right. That's me, Nicholas on Facebook.
I love you. You're my new favorite follower.
Yeah, I'm following you on Kevin. Twitter, and I'm your friend on Facebook. I saw Eric's Facebook, but it wasn't worth it. Speaking of which, why doesn't Andy that idiot Hart have Facebook? With all his potential for social media, I mean, I've seen his Twitter stuff. It's actually pretty good. Why is he not on Facebook?
Probably just stubbornness.
Yeah, he doesn't do it.
Yeah, just stubbornness. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Paul, what do you think about Ray Lewis in the sixth round? Tom Brady.
Did you hear it, though?
Did I
not predict exactly how he was going to do that?
Nicely done. Everything that he said was dripping with such intensity.
You didn't see it, Fred, because
no.
You were away.
Yeah.
I had talked last week that when Ray Lewis presents Brady, he's going to do it in that tone that he does
all the time.
Right. And he did. Yeah. It was almost like a caricature of himself. He was, and to have the intangibles, sixth round, and, these dramatic pauses between every sentence and phrase. It was perfect. He was the perfect guy to do it. I love Ray Lewis.
He's either going to...
As we said last week, if we could just get past that murder thing,
right.
I'd love Ray
right.
Lewis.
He's as much a preacher these days as he is a football player.
Absolutely. I couldn't think of anyone else to do it.
Sure.
That's one I could think of. So anyway, the whole reason I'm calling, to those who don't know, Kevin and I had a little, what I would say a little spirited back and forth on the Facebook page. Some of the Facebook fans got real offensive to that. So
yeah, they were defending him. I was a little surprised by that.
Exactly. I don't know if you guys know this, but Kevin has brainwashed the entire Facebook page. He's got
an
army of minions ready to go to war for him.
Yes.
Over what?
Well, somehow he has convinced, the five people that he's an integral part of this show and that, he does stuff behind the scenes.
Well, he does turn it on. He makes sure the show's on.
Yeah. He does very little other than get us lunch. Let's call it what it is.
Wow.
And now I feel bad because we have guests.
So he's making his own case on Facebook and
right.
So that's good. You're letting her know how easy this job is. So when she takes over,
who's her? This is radio. What are you talking about back there?
We have a guest. I told
you. She's auditioning for my job, Fred.
She is. Who's she?
She.
This is the first time I've seen this person.
No offense, I've never met you, but are you a trained monkey? Because then you could do his job.
Who are we talking about?
She wants to remain anonymous. It's understood.
There's no anonymity on this show. This is a social show. Who are we talking about here?
It's a show. It's a show.
Put the headphones on. Very good. Okay. Go ahead. Introduce yourself.
My name is Nikki.
Hey, Nikki.
Hello.
Wow, that was kind of creepy.
And you are a new employee here?
No, I'm interviewing, actually.
Oh, you're interviewing?
Yes.
Interviewing with whom?
With Matt.
No socks.
Oh, with Matt with no
oh,
socks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Smith.
Okay. And you're interviewing for what job?
The event presentation.
Okay. So the game day stuff. Have you done that before?
Yes.
Do you want to have an online interview right now?
I don't really think we need to have the interview on the air.
Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure that violates some sort of law.
But So if you did get the job, would you be involved in radio at all?
Yes, I'm assuming. Yes.
Okay. Have you ever done radio before?
No.
Oh, okay. That's just the kind of person we're looking for.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for introducing. Where are you from, just by the way?
Philly.
Oh, really? I just came from there.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. All right. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
Nikki looking for a job. So.
And Kevin just automatically assumes that we'd make fun of her the way we make fun of him.
Right.
No.
I would make her show us that she's inept before I would make fun of her like I do you.
Whatever.
Right, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You'll get your wish soon enough, Paul.
All right, so Nick, is the battle still waging on Facebook, or you kind of have a truce going?
Not between Kevin and I. Kevin and I, like I said, it was just more of a spirited back and forth, but all the Facebook fans really jumped on it there. And so I just kind of wanted to say, well, first of all, to all the listeners who are not on the Facebook page, you should really get on it. It's a lot of fun. If you're just at work, whatever, doing nothing, especially like me, because I'm not in the New England area, but I don't get to talk Patriots football with, you know, people around me. So you get on the Facebook page, you get to talk some Patriots football. They got some cool links up there, cool pictures, et cetera. So to all the listeners who are not on the Facebook page, you really should, because it's a lot of fun.
And is it / PFW in progress?
Nah, Kevin knows.
Kevin, what is the name of the Facebook page?
Yeah, it's PFW in Progress page, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you search PFW, it's PFW in Progress, and then in parentheses says Patriots Football Weekly for those people.
I chime in every once in a while, Freddie.
Do you? All right.
Not that often.
Eric's got involved kind of occasionally.
He does?
Yeah, when he gets bored. I've only noticed him write maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I usually just jump in to make fun of, you know, somebody, Eric or Andy.
Yeah, same thing with me.
All right, Nick. Well, thanks for letting us know. And thanks,
Kevin, in your case.
Thanks for plugging the Facebook.
Well, basically what I want to get down to, because, you know, nobody on the Facebook page is going to leave me alone until I do this, is that I don't hate Kevin. Kevin, I don't hate you. I just think, you know, there's a lot of things I don't like about you. A lot of them. I don't like how you like to insert yourself in everything. I don't like how you pat yourself on the back. I don't like the AK-47 show. The list goes kind of on and on and on. But I do respect you, and I do think you're an integral part of the show, and you do add something. And the last thing I want to say was to all the haters who keep sending me all these personal messages talking about, you know, a lot of inappropriate things. Guys, we root for the same team. We listen to the same radio show. So just take it easy. You're acting like a bunch of Jets fans.
Okay. All right.
That's about it. I spoke my piece.
All right, Nick. Thank you. Nick, just asking for a little bit of slack there. I guess.
It got pretty spirited last week.
You know, it's like I said, there's nothing in the PFW Bible that says you have to like all of
Kevin's this. Dad, no, you absolutely. Know, took to Facebook to
oh,
really
Jesus.
Defend him.
Your father even
No,
got
he involved? Doesn't even have a Facebook account.
He was violently defending his
no,
son.
No, he's like Andy Hart. He's anti-Facebook or my face
well, I'm
or
sort
Facebook.
Of, I'm sort of anti the social media too, but, you know.
I don't know what I would do if
when
I
the rest
saw
of the world is doing something and it's sort of part of your job, I do it.
True, but I don't
basically,
know.
Basically, you know, translation, Fred says, Paul, you're doing it. So
yeah,
I do
well,
it.
I mean, I think the Patriots have what? On the regular Facebook, over 2.3 million likes. And on Twitter, we have over 100,000
followers.
So
we should be able to get numbers like that.
Well, maybe someday.
Hopefully.
You keep working it.
I will.
Yeah.
And just stop telling everybody how good you are.
I don't
just,
tell anybody.
You know. Well, you know what you should do is, first of all, I have an assignment for you.
Okay.
I need you to go.
Scan that in?
Well,
post
no,
it.
I need you to go to, you know, Christmas tree shop or Staples down there.
Get a frame.
And get a cheap frame, expense
okay.
it,
yeah.
and put the Mary McCormick
8x10. So we can hang
10.
In the studio.
Right. We don't want to just tape it up to the wall. We want it to look nice.
You know what?
That's
noticed?
A good point, Freddie. We'll start doing our some.
Right.
Freddie,
you know,
have you noticed what else
is going on
in the
station.
Studio?
I did. They finished this. That's nice. The other thing I want you to do is scan it
okay.
and post it
post
up
on the
PFW Facebook,
Facebook
page so that people can see that.
Obviously scan it before.
And, you know, what I was thinking of is all the people that have done drop-ins.
Nikki's saying, do I really want to work here?
I was thinking of like getting the same kind of thing, an 8x10 from like Rich Eisen, people that have done drop-ins for us.
Adam Schefter, who was on the show.
Right, and put those up around the studio too.
And request glossies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's
yeah.
what radio stations do. When they have famous people that come in,
right.
they usually
yep.
take pictures with the staff and you put them up on the wall.
True, but I don't think I was here for any of those. Or else I
it
would
doesn't say. Matter if you were
Who
here.
Who cares? See,
oh, my
no,
God.
See, listen,
no, I mean,
you know,
I mean,
30
no,
seconds
no, no,
removed
no, no.
from
listen,
stop
listen,
giving
listen,
yourself
listen,
credit,
listen.
And you think it
no,
matters
thought,
that you weren't
you,
here.
I thought you were taking a shot at me for not taking a picture of you.
No, not at all.
Because I would have taken a picture
not
of you
at
if
all.
You wanted
no,
to.
No, no. We're not blaming you for anything. We're just saying that.
Nor are we crediting you with anything, more importantly.
Fair enough.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
But the studio does look good, Freddie, don't you think?
Yeah.
This is about as neat as the studio has looked in a long time. Even after my two boys, Will and TJ, came to work with me on Friday.
Oh,
I brought them down here.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of neat down here, which is
it's not bad.
Somewhat remarkable. They created a bit of a stir in the office. It's a good thing it was one of those archery practice days.
Right.
Because there was no one here on Friday.
Yeah.
But they were awfully loud, my two. So I'm glad you weren't here.
We're still also planning on the pregame social show. And I was reading last week that Facebook is probably going to do a deal with Skype.
Yeah, I saw that you sent that to me, and I have no idea what any of that means.
Well, I was thinking that on, you know, the radio player will be on the Facebook page, the Patriots Facebook page. We'll have a tab for the show. And I was thinking that somehow maybe we can figure out where, you know, a guest or two can actually be on Skype and people can see the person while they're talking to us. You know, they wouldn't see us, but they'd see the person calling in, which would be kind of cool.
All right.
I don't know. We'll have to.
Hey, if this technology is available, I am not against adding any of it if it enhances the show in any way.
Right.
You know, people always want to see what's going on. If there's any way that we can have, even if it's just seeing people participating in the show. I mean, it's a visual that we haven't been able to provide before.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. We should get to some emails that are coming in. Greg from the billing department writes in. He says, "What's up, guys, and welcome back, Fred."
Well, Greg took a shot at you last week. I'll see if he handles that.
All right. Even though you read emails as a run-on sentence.
he took it in his own hands. Good for Greg.
I read them as they're written. So if people don't know punctuation, that's how they're read. We all still miss you, and you can never invite No Socks back on the show. People really, wow. I agree with the assessment on B-Low by everyone else, but if it is one or the other, I'd rather suffer through the sound of B-Low's voice over No Socks any day. Paul, very sorry about the terrible game on Thursday, but it got B-Low out of here, so it couldn't be that bad of a game. So just touching up on a few things that you guys have been talking over the past week, was No Socks that bad? I mean,
I don't really understand what the backlash against the eyelash against No Socks was.
Is he just too opinionated?
Maybe a little dry. I don't know. No. I don't know what maybe because they're used to us talking about, you know, nonsense.
Anyway, Greg says I think that Danny Woodhead would have been able to contribute a lot to the team in that game we shall not mention. If you think about it, he is exactly what we needed that day, a pace changer. You guys said that you really can't blame the defense for what happened because they played just as well as they needed to. The offense was the thing that sputtered and bad. The rush of the team from the game that we won't mention was very fast, and they pressured Brady all night. If you have Woodhead there for a quick dump-off to get a few extra yards and possibly break a big one, that pass rush disappears, puts the defense on their heels. I think having him in that game that we won't talk about would have been game-changing.
Yeah, Greg, I really liked that game. The game that he proposed, if you could have one guy that wasn't on the team then.
Oh, that was it? Okay.
Yeah, that's on, you know, who you have. I really liked the game. I thought we discussed that a little bit on Thursday, and unless there was another game that we kind of got confused on, maybe that's what he's talking about. But this particular one, I don't think the defense was fine. I think the defense, largely they lost the game because the offense didn't perform to the capabilities that it had, you know, the levels that it had for the most part throughout the season. But to me, you can't just let the defense off the hook because they only allowed 17 points. When they took the field twice in the fourth quarter with a lead and allowed the team to go 80-plus yards twice, not once, twice, you can chalk it all up to one fluke play, and it was the fluke of all flukes. The David Tyree catch is the flukiest play perhaps in the history of Super Bowls. But it wasn't just one play. It was two long drives they allowed. That was one play out of about 22.
Right.
So it wasn't just one bad play the defense had that was a fluke. They were awful.
I mean, I hate to say it, but does...
When it counted, they did not do the job.
You know, does... you know, at the time, was Crennel still with the team then?
No. Crennel was gone.
So does Bill Belichick get some blame for maybe being a little bit too much back on the heels in defense and not attacking more? I mean, I know they attacked that one play and Eli Manning got out of the grasp and threw the ball.
No,
but
I don't think that they I don't think they sat back. Matter of fact, the game-winning touchdown was on a blitz.
That's true.
They got burned on a blitz.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
I know I'm right. Usually is the case. No, I mean, I don't really think that they sat back in a prevent per se. I mean, I don't think that they went pedal to the metal and, you know, wildly blitz like the Jets can do sometimes in those situations. But they came after the quarterback and they had heat on Manning.
Right.
You know, obviously the Tyree play should have been a sack.
Yep.
Someone's got to get him, you know, whether it was Green or Seymour, one of those guys, they got to get him on that play. Plain and simple. What are you going to say? I mean, I don't think what – I think to say Woodhead, add Woodhead to the offense, they had Kevin Falk.
I was just
and Kevin
say,
Falk was much closer to his prime.
Right.
Run. And to me, Kevin Falk
– that was 4 years
has
ago,
had
Kevin
better
Falk.
Years, yeah. Many better years than Danny Woodhead had last year. And that's not Woodhead's fault. The guy came midstream in the middle of the season. That was a very difficult thing to do. What Woodhead did last year was a very impressive feat, to come into a team cold like that. And basically, from the day he got here, he was a major contributor. Very first game, that Buffalo game here in Foxborough.
Yep.
He was a significant contributor from the day he arrived. And that's not an easy thing to do. But I think Kevin Falk was a better player in his prime.
So what was the conditions of the game? You had to pick one Patriot who wasn't on the team for that game and that you would like to add?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the – Ty Law would be a guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember the specific details of the game now. But I think I said – I think we were talking about – like I said, Devin McCourty, you know, because you could put
– yeah.
You know, McCourty on the other side of Samuel
right.
And not have to worry about Hobbs.
Right.
I don't remember.
That was kind of what my thinking for Law.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was like someone on the team now.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I suggested is, you know, if you wanted to go offense, maybe like Gronk.
Yeah.
Because he would have added an element to the offense that you didn't have.
Yep.
You know, you had Watson.
I'll go for that.
You had Watson and Kyle Brady. They weren't the kinds of tight ends. They weren't part of the offense. See, I wanted to add an element offensively that they didn't have.
Okay.
That so makes those sense. Those are the two things we sort of batted back and forth.
That might
McCourty
have helped
and
open up
Gronkowski.
Moss more. And,
right.
You know, yep. Okay. The other thing that Greg from the billing department says is the game that I most would have wanted a front row seat for would have to be the snow game against the Raiders. That was the birth of the dynasty that we now know as a New England Patriot. So many classic moments from that game, and arguably two of the best kicks in NFL history in one game. Plus, I think that would have been an awesome atmosphere, especially after the kick that won it. All right, guys, enjoy the show. Good to have you back for at least one show, Fred. That was a great game to be at. I don't know how comfortable it would have been out there. But, you know, as I recall it, people that I was in the press box.
What so great? What are we talking? I missed
the
that.
Snow game against the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. It wasn't
bitterly cold.
No, yeah. Most people that were there say it was uncomfortable because of the amount of snow, but it wasn't overly cold.
Right.
And if you were dressed for it, it was actually fun.
Yeah.
My father and brother were at that game and they loved it.
So yeah, there were a lot of great moments. Plus, it was the last game played at Foxborough, and so a lot of fans stayed after, and it was
stayed after.
Well,
yeah. Do you remember?
You weren't going anywhere fast.
Were you here for that one? That game. That if you could pick any sporting event, or you know, in history, to have a front row seat at, what would it be?
I wasn't here for that.
Yeah. See, we did some kind of interactive things like that.
There's a lot that I'd have to go back and think about. I mean, like Borg McEnroe would be one for
me. Did you see the thing on HBO, by the way? Borg McEnroe?
No.
You should watch it.
Yeah.
Because you're like me. That's when you I know you're much more into tennis than I am. And that's the era that I'm sure that you got hooked on tennis like
sure.
I did.
Yeah.
You know those HBO documentaries that they do, and they
yep.
always do such a great job?
Yep.
Borg McEnroe. I had no idea how close they were. The two of them. I had no idea.
Well, Borg, you know, was a little before McEnroe, and then McEnroe came on the scene and became one of his big competitors.
What are your thoughts on Borg?
He was one of my, you know, like Muhammad Ali, Bjorn Borg, and there was one other, Larry Bird, John Elway. Those are like my sports heroes. But Borg went way down on my list for kind of the stuff that happened after his career. He got involved with pills and
he had some issues.
He had some money issues.
No question he had some issues.
Yeah.
He was always my brother was a big tennis player, and he loved Borg.
Oh, I mean,
absolutely.
When
loved
I played,
Borg.
I had all the Borg. I had the Borg Fila shirt, yeah. The whole thing.
Yeah,
two-handed backhand,
Rich
whatever racket
too.
He was using, I would use. Yeah.
Well, the reason I asked is, you know, watching this, and again, I knew the story, and you remember it, you know, as when you live it. And I was a little young. He was dominant. You know, he won 5 Wimbledons in a row, including the 5th one, when is the one that you're talking about, that
right.
Incredible match where they played forever. And then the next year, McEnroe beat him, finally.
Yep.
And then shortly thereafter, he sort of it was after the U.S. Open, which was another great final,
right.
He abruptly retired.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just said, well, he was burned out and this and that. I took that at face value, that he was just burnt out and all that. But do you think that it was one of those things where his big rival finally got better than him and he just decided, I'm going to walk away?
It could be. You know, he was so stoic on the court. He
yeah.
never. It was all internal for him, and maybe he just couldn't handle it. But he also had money problems. He had a
business, like a some sort of clothing business that went
yeah.
completely belly up.
And they said, did they talk about the pill use, the drug use?
Not in great detail, yeah. But yeah, they did talk about it.
Yeah, and I think he had women problems.
Well, he was
yeah. So I mean, he was
all
over the place.
What did Seinfeld call him? A himbo?
Maybe, I don't know, but
or a mimbo, a male bimbo.
He was all over the place toward the end there, and it was just tough. I think it was tough upkeep for a guy like him. He had no, like, release. Emotional, you know, it was all internal, and I just think he did have to walk away.
And then he tried to come back, you know, all those years
yeah.
later, and he's using a wooden racket.
It was terrible. I as one of his biggest fans, I was just embarrassed watching
yeah.
him, you know? It was like watching Willie Mays on the Mets that last year, you know?
Just that's falling, always the one that everybody mentions.
Right, just falling all over himself. All right, we got emails coming in, phone calls at 508-298-0398. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from Becast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Senior Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're talking NFL lockout, if you want to. Brady, number one among his peers, which I said early in the show, I was duped. I thought that players around the league resented him, were jealous of him, but for whatever reason wouldn't vote for him in that kind of a poll. But I was wrong, and I guess he does get the respect that he deserves. So he was number one. Manning was number two. We're also talking about Borg McEnroe. No, I'm only kidding. I would love to do a tennis show. I could talk all day about the old days. Manuel Orantes and Guillermo Vilas, Harold Solomon. I mean, that was my heyday back then.
Jimmy Connors,
sure. Can't forget Jimmy Connors.
Billy Nastasi.
Yeah, Nastasi. Nasty. But we're a football show, so we're going to talk football.
To be Mark Malone.
I don't know how the guys on NFL Network on Sirius do it. I mean, they're taking calls and people are calling in and, you know, giving free agent scenarios and all this stuff. And it's all make-believe right now because you don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. It's hard to speculate. And that's why I think we talked about this a little bit the last couple of shows, too. It's going to take a while, Freddie, to get from when they do actually come to an agreement and when you can actually start, because they're not going to be able to just say, okay, we've agreed to terms, or, you know, we've agreed in principle. They have to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed before you can say the league year starts, because who wants to sign a free agent when you're not exactly sure what the parameters are?
Well,
I want to see it on black and white, and then I need to have time to sort of inform my decision makers all the ins and outs of what the agreement is.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was reading some tweets this morning that said, they said, uh-oh, lawyers are back in the room. That's a bad sign. You know, I thought they were the reason. But it could be a good sign to the fact that they are getting close to where the, you know, actual words are being put on paper. So, and that is, of course, where you do need the lawyer. So the fact that the lawyers are back in the room could be a sign that they're starting to actually, you know, come up with verbiage in the actual the way.
No,
it's,
you're right.
You know.
You're right. You could look at that either way, and that's sort of been the frustrating thing with this whole thing, is that every little action has been analyzed and dissected so many different ways. You mentioned how the NFL serious guys can do it. I mean, they have a meeting, and we're breathlessly reporting who the first to arrive is,
right?
Who the second to arrive
what
is.
What they got for lunch.
When they broke for lunch. How long they broke for lunch. I mean, just stop. We don't need that.
Yep. And then, you know, of course, the NBA is in their own lockout now. And from people in the know, they're saying that could even be worse than the NFL's.
I think they're going to lose a season.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That would be.
That system is broken.
Ugh.
The NFL system isn't broken.
Yeah, right.
The NFL system has never been better.
It,
they
right.
just want to tweak it.
Right.
But, you know, obviously everybody is making a lot of money. In the NBA, the players are making a lot of money. The owners
right.
aren't.
Right. That's true.
It's absolutely true.
That's true.
The players need to give some back because they have taken advantage.
Kamani writes in and says, I'm really glad you're back, Fred. The show sounds bizarre when you're away. There are a couple of people in that studio who think they have the chops to do what you do, but they can't because they're bores. Wow. I would also like to express how much I'm enjoying the summer of Andy. I am enjoying it so much that I wish it was the year of Andy. Holy mackerel. And also, on the first show of your absence, Andy made a number of statements that some people might deem racist and inflammatory. You might have to have him write a lengthy apology and have him read it on the air. Kevin, is that true? Did was Andy
I don't recall that at all.
Racist and inflammatory? I mean, he is on a good day, but I mean, is any more than usual?
I don't remember anything that stands out, but I can review the tape certainly.
Okay. Well, maybe Kamani wants to be more specific.
Yeah, Kamani.
He's leveling a really big charge there. And,
shoot us an email. Let us know.
No one is less amused by Andy than I am, but I don't recall him having anything overly.
Were you here for all
racist.
The shows?
Yeah.
Was there a show that you weren't
I don't
here
take any days off, Freddie.
I thought you did. Oh, you took Monday and Wednesday off.
See what
last
happens,
week
Fred,
I did,
when
yes.
you leave, people start taking shots at Andy. They hate me. Place goes nuts.
Right.
I will be missing the show on Thursday. That's going to be the first show I miss in a long time. I love the show.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. You should try it.
Mike writes in from Pensacola, Florida. I was thinking the other day about all of the great assistant coaches the Pats have had the past few years. So I put together a game in which one of you would choose for the Pats at their specified positions, assuming the positions are of equal merit. Offense is not more important than defense. In essence, who is the better coach? Who would you pick? Romeo Crennel or Rob Ryan for defensive coordinator?
Rack.
Charlie Weiss or Josh McDaniels for offensive coordinator?
Charlie Weiss.
See, I might stun you, but I'd pick McDaniels.
I'm not stunned by that.
Okay.
I know what you think of Weiss.
Okay. Romeo Crennel for defensive coordinator or Charlie Weiss for offensive coordinator? You have to pick one.
Rack.
Me too. Matt Patricia for defensive coordinator or Bill O'Brien for offensive coordinator? Now we're getting personal.
Hmm.
I'd go with Bill O'Brien.
I think I'll go with Bill
as
O'Brien.
As long as you got Bill Belichick as your head coach. Dante Scarnecchia for offensive line coach or Dom Capers for defensive coordinator?
Oh, Dante.
Yeah. And just for fun, Teddy Bruschi for defensive coordinator or Tom Brady for offensive coordinator?
Brady.
Really?
The way that he thinks about the game?
I don't think he would want to just.
He said it was just for fun.
All right, I'd pick Bruce.
I don't think there's any chance that Brady would want to be an offensive coordinator. But for the purposes of this exercise, he is interested in being an offensive coordinator. I think that his vast knowledge of schemes and systems and coverages as an offensive coordinator. Now maybe he'd be one of those guys that couldn't teach it.
Right, like Ted Williams,
because it came so easy to him.
Right. Ted Williams was the hitting coach for the Red Sox and failed miserably.
For all I know, Tom Brady watches a guy throw the ball into double coverage and can't understand why anybody would ever do such a thing.
Right.
You know, he's one of those guys. How obvious was that? How couldn't you see that?
See, that's what I'd be afraid of.
Like
him.
Ray Lewis said, it's like a matrix.
Right.
The game slows down.
See, that's why I would pick Bruschi. I think he's the safer bet, and I think he'd bring that type of electricity to the defense that it needs.
I think Bruschi would be fine too, but I don't know if I can think of a guy who's more coach-like than Tom Brady in the way he plays. That's why I pick Brady. You know, and other reasons too, but you know.
Let's see. Rob writes in lieu of last week's events, how realistic is it that we will get a preseason or even a season? I've been on the waiting list for almost 10 years and just got my season tickets this year, so I have my fingers crossed. Well, congratulations, first of all, for becoming a season ticket holder.
The PFW in progress.
You know, you
round
get a $10
applause.
Discount to PFW by being a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
1-800-494-PATS. I think it is realistic that There will be a season. In fact, I am
saying that there is less than 1% chance of missing a regular season game.
Right.
I think there's at least a 50-50 shot that we miss a preseason game.
Yep.
But I think it will be done before the regular season.
Garrett from Facebook says, Kevin, I'm going to be on the road when the show starts, so I can't listen but live. But to have one request, tell Fred I miss him. Wow, thanks, Garrett. Can't say I miss you, but, you know, it's all right. I just eating that pie over there.
What's the matter?
I'm just watching you eating your small pepperoni. You doing all right there, huh?
Why do you somehow turn into Andy right there?
Do we have lunch?
I'm having a little slice of pizza, and you make it out to be like a dirty thing.
Well, I caught you mid-chew.
How do you do that?
Mid-bite.
I actually thought the email was going to continue on. I didn't realize it was a one-sentence email.
Greg from the billing department has a clarification on his game. It has to be a player that's on the team now.
Mm-hmm.
That would go.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we said McCourty.
Yeah,
and
so
Gronkowski.
McCourty would make, that would be my guy too, I think, because I want
to. And then that way, you know, when you're blitzing on that last play, Ellis Hobbs isn't alone on an island.
Exactly.
It's either Samuel or McCourty.
Rich from Red Bank, New Jersey says a couple things. I was reading over the weekend that maybe Ocho Cinco, because of his friendship with Bill Belichick, may end up in New England. If he does, what number would he wear? And would he have to change his name? I don't know. He was already talking about changing his name back.
But he wouldn't have to change his name. It would be his choice.
Right.
It's not like the Patriots wouldn't allow him to be Chad Ocho Cinco.
I mean, the whole thing with Ocho Cinco and the Patriots, that's been going on for years. Ever since, you know, the two,
well,
Belichick met him.
He's perpetuating it, though. Well, Ocho Cinco writes about the Patriots like once a week.
Right.
You know, about how he's not a free agent, but he's treating himself like one.
And speaking of Brady being number one, says
and I have no idea what number he would be, by the way.
Do you guys think that that would make Peyton Manning mad? Is that maybe a good thing or a bad thing for the Patriots? Personally, I don't think it'll have any effect. The fact that Brady was...
I agree. It won't have any effect.
But, you know, one interesting thing that came out of that, they interviewed Brady, and he went over a list of receivers that he played with, and he left off Randy Moss. And people are making a big deal about this.
He left off Kevin Falk, too. Well, I couldn't believe that. You know, just because I know how much affinity he has for Kevin Falk. I think he was just rattling off guys off the top of his head. And, I mean, no disrespect to one of our favorites. He mentioned Christian Fourier. He didn't mention Kevin Falk.
Right.
I mean, does anybody really think that he felt Christian Fourier was more integral to his success than Kevin Falk? So the fact that he didn't mention Moss to me is completely and totally irrelevant.
So, but, you know, I'll play devil's advocate, though. I mean, okay, so you're talking about this award that puts you as a number one player, and you're thinking of the players that you've played with that made you that way. And your greatest season, you know, in terms of numbers, was with Randy Moss. And wouldn't that be kind of a guy that comes to mind right away? Or maybe he was just thinking of Super Bowl seasons? Or
I just think that he was rattling off teammates off the top of his head. Well, I don't think he really thought about it that much.
And the question is, why isn't Moss at the top of his head?
Well, why wouldn't Kevin Falk be?
It's a good question. But, you know, that's why people are talking
about
it.
It's like, I had this argument with someone this morning. No Sox, as a matter of fact. And I said, if he had mentioned, like, Jabard Gaffney and Richey Caldwell and guys like that, then I would have said, it's really odd that he didn't mention Randy Moss. But he missed a lot of other guys, too. I mean, he didn't mention Daniel Graham, for example. He didn't mention Kevin Falk. He didn't mention Benjamin Watson. I mean, there was a lot of guys that he's thrown a lot of passes to over the years that he didn't mention. It wasn't just Randy Moss.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think it was an intentional slight for Moss?
No, but...
Because I didn't.
No,
I heard it live. I didn't think it was an intentional slight.
I'm just playing
slight.
Devil's advocate.
Well, not live. I mean, I heard it when NFL Network played the interview. I know it wasn't live.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. But do you think a guy like Randy Moss would think about it? He's very emotional.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think he would just talk to Tommy. I don't know. I don't think he would have looked at it like that.
Brent from Illinois writes in, "Hey, Fred, Paul, and Chaz." Well, Chaz isn't here today, but he says, Feels good to say Chaz again after Chaz hosting last week and never saying that name. Feels good to hear it again. Chaz, 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 Chaz. Welcome back, Fred. The show is not the same without you. That is all today, as I cannot listen live. Damn, BlackBerry app is still not freaking working, although Ferreira is working with me to fix it, I guess. And don't really want to mess up the flow of the show. I know there really is no flow. All right, have a great Tuesday, and welcome back, Fred. You were missed with B-Lo as guest and Chaz as host. It was almost like there was a PFW in progress lockout. We were stuck with scabs. Thank God Paul was still there to keep the ship moving, and even Kevin, Brent from Illinois.
Wow.
I would suggest, I know that as far as this BlackBerry thing, there's so many different models, and some work, some don't. The Storm 2, which is one of the more used models, doesn't work. I understand that.
I know Chris is
working with some of these people. I would say right now, get rid of your BlackBerries. The company's not going to be around in a few years anyway. So you might as well.
Evidently not a sponsor, huh?
Might as well convert to a phone that will be there. Now, Paul, you've been using your iPhone. How do you like it?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm certainly not taking full advantage of it the way I would imagine you do. But what I need it for, it's very good. Very easy to use.
Yep.
And that's saying a lot for an idiot like
elegant.
Me.
And I've said it before. The Android models pretty much do everything that an iPhone does, and in some cases maybe a little bit better. But the ease of use, the elegantness of the iPhone.
The elegance. The user interface. Or the elegance. Not the elegantness.
Is unmatched. And I don't think any phone comes close to it, and that's why the iPhone is better. Plus,
now,
you got all the apps.
I will say that that's all I do it for is I have the apps that you downloaded for me, and I don't really use it to text or to make phone calls or anything like that, so I don't know how easy it is to do any of that stuff. I will say I am still getting driven crazy by the keyboard. I cannot type on it. The letters are too small.
Okay.
That's the same issue with the BlackBerry, right?
Yeah,
BlackBerry, you can feel the button.
Okay.
So I know which button I push. This one, I never know if it actually, you know, because you touch it.
Yeah.
And you don't know if it records it or not.
But even on the BlackBerry, you know.
It's the only non-elegant part of it.
You know, the elegantness of the letters is not up to.
Not up to par.
Par.
Even on a keypad, though, I find that I hit two buttons at once, you know, on a normal keypad. So
yeah,
I'm bad on both.
It's an issue on the BlackBerry, too, no question. I just felt like with the raised letters, I more knew more quickly if I had mistyped something. Whereas, and the other thing, too, is you could move around a lot easier to go back and delete something. You know, if you had a word four words earlier, it was a lot easier on the BlackBerry to just hit the thing back, whereas on the iPhone, you got to touch it and get that stupid bubble that comes up.
I kind of like that. I've gotten used to that. You can go right to where you want anywhere in the page. I kind of like that. Marty says, it's great to have you back, Fred, from the Facebook page. That's cool. And also, Connor in Dubai on the Facebook page. It's really amazing how Fred is the glue or goo that holds the show together. It has been really lacking without his stories and general inattentiveness. Thank you. I think that's a compliment. I'm not sure. And another Facebook comment from John in Norton, Mass. What will the Patriots' record be this year? 11-5, 12-4. I can see a Super Bowl win against Atlanta. What do you guys think? 12-4 sounds good to me. But we're not making predictions yet.
Well, not yet, because like you said, Fred, about 20 minutes ago, we don't even know who's on the team.
Right.
But I'd say, I don't know, 11-5 sounds right to me. I can't imagine them having a bad season.
Right. Well, a lot of it depends on the competition as well. And
also, what's a bad season? Like 9-7?
Not making the playoffs.
Not making the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, unless you're just completely riddled with injuries, I don't see that happening.
1 o'clock, says my clock. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast.
Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they that? Take that field out now.
In trays.
But, yes, do, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it, too.
No,
you got to make it.
You might laugh out loud. Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. And yesterday, of course, was the 4th of July. So in Boston, they have a tradition. The Boston Pops plays on the Esplanade, and I watched that on TV.
I did too.
I think it's getting old.
Well, it's definitely old. If you've seen it, a couple of times, you've seen it. It's the same thing. You know what I think is kind of funny is the local coverage of it. I don't know if you watched.
Right. Yeah.
You watch like Channel 4,
right?
With Jack Williams.
Yep.
But he's like uncomfortable to watch to me.
Well, he looks
like Martina McBride. what a voice! I mean, it's like. Guy, I mean, you're kind of creeping me out, I got to tell you.
Well, I don't know why I brought it up, but I was watching that, and I was switching back to the one in D.C.
I didn't watch any of that.
And Steve Martin had his bluegrass band. He's really good. Steve Martin, the comedian, he plays the banjo, and he's got a bluegrass band, and they're excellent. And they did three numbers, and it's really good. And then Jordan Sparks, and... I bring her up because she sang at the game that shall not be mentioned, I think pregame. Remember
her? Was that right? I don't remember that.
Lost a lot of weight and looking very good.
Yeah, I knew she lost some weight.
A lot of weight.
Okay, Fred. Now you sound like Jack Williams. You're creeping me out.
Looking very good. So I just thought I'd mention that. Little tie to the Patriots there.
Oh, I see what you did.
Yeah.
You know, back to the iPhone. Funny little story that I probably should.
There was flying around in here. It's driving me crazy.
That's why I had to eat my pizza quick before it got it.
It's about the size of Cleveland.
I should have mentioned this last week, but driving home last Tuesday, I believe, from work, and I'm in my normal bumper-to-bumper traffic on 128, not moving. So I'm bored.
You got the NSYNC rocking.
I reach over and I grab the iPhone.
Right.
Figure I'll check my email.
Yeah.
Check Twitter. You know, I'm looking at this stuff. So I'm probably doing it for about 5 minutes, and I've moved like, you know, 20 feet. So all of a sudden, I get this loud, angry, like menacing horn. You know, you could just tell there was like attitude.
Here we go.
So I turn to the side.
Yeah.
It's a Stady. In an undercover car. And he looks at me like with this, like just a disgusted disapproval look on his face. So I put it down and I gave him a wave, and he shook his head, you know, nodding yes.
Right.
And I just waved and I mouthed thank you. Because I know, I mean, texting, and I don't know if this is every state, but Massachusetts, texting is against the law in the car.
Yeah.
So he could have giving me a ticket for that easily.
Were you texting? Or you just
I wasn't. I was just looking at my email. But I mean,
same thing. Yeah,
I was looking at the email. I was looking at Twitter. I was reading. I had my head down. I wasn't paying attention. But we weren't moving.
Yeah,
you know.
Wow.
But it was kind of funny. Yeah. The iPhone almost got me in trouble.
He really gave it to you. He
gave me what for?
I noticed, you know, a lot of people, you know, in the past, they put those stickers in the back of their windows in case they get stopped. Cop might see that you contributed to the police patrolman's fund or whatever. When you put the stickers up there, now the new one is people put this thin blue line. Have you seen that one? It's a black sticker with a thin blue line through the middle.
Is that what that is?
And that's supposed to represent that you have somebody.
I've seen those.
Yeah, you have somebody on the job in your family.
But those, that's good, Freddie. On the job, good use of on the job. My brother-in-law does that all the time.
Yeah. So
how long you been on the job?
I'm looking for one of those stickers.
I'm on a job up in Salem, he tells me.
Yeah.
You know, as a joke. He's a caricature of himself.
Well, when you watch a lot of L&O, you get that.
That's true.
Yeah. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Kamani says that as far as Andy's remarks, that it's in the last 15 to 20 minutes of the show, even if it's borderline, you should have him write an apology anyway. It'd be funny.
So you're not going to tell us what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not.
Because I'm not going to go back and listen to the show.
And I don't even know what show. I missed three shows.
I barely listen to myself.
Brian says, as far as Android versus iPhone, don't forget the same apps for Android are usually free versus the iPhone, but the iPhone is easy. That's true. Well, Android, but the problem with the App Store in Android is the Wild Wild West. They don't vet their apps like iPhone does, so... You know, there's like a million Patriots apps in there, and they're all junk. They might be free, but you have to wade through all that trash to get to the good stuff. So that's the bad thing about the Android App Store, although they mostly are free. But I'm sorry, it just doesn't compare. You know, what can I tell you? 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Big Al in Georgia. Hey, Al.
Fellas, how you doing? Welcome back, Fred.
We're doing good. You're saying that the NFL deal is near completion?
I mean, that's just one man's prediction, but yeah, I think they're round third and headed for home. You know, myself, this seems to be, forgive me, fellas, correct me if I'm wrong, but the impression I'm getting is that this is a little bit different than maybe confrontations that they've had in the past, and it seems like we're trying to solve a lot of big issues. It isn't just about nickels and dimes, although that's obviously a big part of it. But it's also this rookie wage thing, and it's the retired players and injury, you know, the disability benefits and all this. And I think they're trying to solve a lot of big things for a long time, which tends to take longer.
I'll agree with you somewhat, but here's the thing. The main thing is it's the revenue share. That there wouldn't even be at the table if it wasn't for the revenue share. All those things you're talking about, the rookie wage scale and 18-game schedule and all benefits and all that stuff, those are bargaining chips to get what they really want, which is, you know, the higher percentage of the take, the owners. That's why they're at the table. You know, the players have been saying all along, we're fine with the way things are. You know, You know, so the players weren't clamoring for more benefits for retired players or more health, you know, things. That's things they've talked about, but that they never said, let's get to the table. The only reason they're at the table is because the owners want more money.
Yeah,
that's it.
I agree with you, Fred, on that, but I also agree with Al on that. I think there are a lot of other things beyond. I think if it was just that, it would be done by now.
Right.
But I think these other things, as Al said, have further complicated things. I don't think we'd be here without the revenue. The split of how they're going to divide the revenue is the reason why you're in this position. But I think it would be over if that was the only issue.
There's
a lot of other issues.
But that's the thing. If the owners weren't forcing the issue because of, you know, what they wanted to do with the revenue share, all these issues wouldn't come up. That's my point.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. Without the split, we wouldn't have a lockout. They'd be working these things out
right
as we go and getting ready for the next CBA or whatever.
So to Al's
without the
point,
revenue split.
It might be a good thing, you know, it's sort of like a backdoor good thing that the owners did want this change in the CBA because it has allowed them to address other issues, which I think legitimately needed to be addressed. You know, the rookie wage scale and health risks and better benefits. I think that is legitimate issues that I think the players always were concerned with, but weren't concerned enough to have a strike, for example. You know,
just a couple things, fellas, if I can jump in. I agree that if it were the only thing that concerns me, if it were just about the percentage, I think they would have a deal by now because the pie is growing. You know, globalization has not hurt the NFL like it's hurt the auto industry and other industries where there's labor and management, you know, issues. They've had to constantly deal with globalization, which has hurt American business. This has helped the NFL globalization. So their pie is growing. You know, you usually don't argue that much over a growing pie. You argue like hell over a shrinking pie. I think if it were just about that, then they'd have a deal by now. But then also, this rookie wage scale, fellas, I think there could be a problem there. And I don't know if you've read or heard anything about this, but just using my own, you know, common sense for what that's worth. But the thing with the rookie wage scale is that these rookies that are drafted are not members of the NFLPA. I mean, they're sort of in limbo. They've been drafted, but they're not under contract. They haven't. So, you know, you're regulating their money even though they're not members of the NFLPA. And I would imagine that there would have to be a lot of legalese around that issue to try to prevent you from being sued in the future, that you might might end up in the courthouse by some rookie that says, I'm not a member of the NFLPA, their deal doesn't apply to me, and I don't want to be governed by that.
Well, that's the thing, Al. You're absolutely right. That's one of the things that once this stuff started going to court that, you know, may have forced both sides to look at this, because you're right. You know, without the collective bargaining agreement and without the antitrust exemption, it does open up for a slew of lawsuits. Anybody could now sue for, you know, the right to work. And, you know, that's why it's so important for the league to have a collective bargaining agreement, to have a players association, and to have that antitrust exemption, because that gives them the protection from that type of stuff. If they were to skip a season, and because of this lockout, I think the owners know that if this thing went to court and was argued on strictly labor law and legal issues, the owners would lose because what they do is anti-labor, but they get the exemption for it. So you're right.
Well, don't forget, fellas, much like in this case in Minnesota, at the district court level, people forget, Maurice Claret won. He won at the district court level because on the same grounds, basically, I'm not a member of the NFLPA. They can't make this rule about juniors only or whatever. That doesn't apply to me.
Right.
And that was convincing, evidently, at the district court in New York. Now, once you get to the Court of Appeals, the NFL traditionally does better. And
right.
So maybe they have a better hand at this thing in St. Louis going on that's pending. I don't know.
Yeah. That's the one thing, you know, that whole court thing, Al. I agree.
Certainly is something that I think that they have to. You got to bring the lawyers in at least for that, to get all the legalese right and try to protect yourself long term. Both sides do. So I agree. I think it's encouraging that the lawyers are back in, if assuming that that's what they're the primary reason why they're there.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, and I apologize for stepping on you there, Al, but I agree about the lawyer aspect, and that is something that, you know, the other side of it, and something Fred and I talked about this morning, I'm a little concerned about this notion that the players, you know, the NFLPA's lawyers, the Kesslers and whatnot, they wouldn't mind seeing this get dragged out and having, you know, some people fear that their goal is to go ahead and blow it up and go to court and go after the antitrust stuff, and they won't lose. And they know they won't lose because history is on their side. And that in the back of my mind, when the lawyers get back involved, I worry about that. I wonder what their motivation is, because their motivation is not the same as the players.
No,
those lawyers, the players want to play. The players know that they have a short window to make money. So they can't afford even one season or one game. They don't want to do that. They don't want to lose time because their time is precious. The lawyers don't care. They don't have the same goal.
Right. The longer this, the more money they make, the longer this thing goes.
The lawyers are looking at, well, you know, you can be cynical and say that they're trying to bill a lot of hours, which I guess that's part of it. But they're probably looking at they're trying to convince the parties to look at this thing long-term, big picture. And like you say, Paul, the player is saying, hey, I've got a 3.5-year on average career.
Right.
I got to go to the bank when I can. And, you know, you're costing me a year because you're looking at this big picture, you know.
Yeah. Right. Even if you had a player.
I got mouths to feed, bills to pay. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's a question of who's going to blink first. I don't think this is a blink first situation. I hope it's not. Again, maybe I've got too much faith, but I just have a feeling with this, you know, a lot of businesses worry about the down economy. In a weird sort of way, I think down economies actually help the NFL, and especially it's the most TV-relevant sport. And, you know, if I can't afford to take my family to a game, I'm probably more likely to sit down
and watch
in front of a bunch of games on television. It actually, you know, it kind of helps these type of TV-centric, if that's a word, businesses that really watch the ratings.
Well, you're absolutely right, Alan. Thanks for the call. You know, it's a fact that during the Depression, the movie industry actually, and comic books actually flourished, or not flourished, but
they saw a spike.
Right, because people were looking for that.
I didn't know that, but that's interesting. Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, the main thing, I think, to Al's point, I think the thing we have to remember is this. The players have always said they were happy with the current deal. The owners forced them to the table and, you know, always thought that they might have to use the lockout because the players were satisfied and it was up to the owners to sweeten the pot for them. They were asking for something back. In order to get that, they had to start addressing all this other stuff that were, you know, concerns for the players in order to give them something. And I think that's where the players screwed up. I think the players had leverage in the fact that the owners were asking for something that they didn't have. The players were happy with the current deal. So the players should have used that leverage back on March 11th when they had a pretty damn good deal on the table of extra benefits that the owners were willing to give them, and build on that and stay at the table and use what they had as a baseline and build on that. Instead, they walked away and put this into the court. And I think as the season grows closer, they lost some of that leverage that they had on March 11th. So that's just my take.
I agree with you. I do. I agree with your larger point. Listen, we could talk about all this stuff. It's going to get done. I think we all feel like the regular season is going to take place. It's a matter of when we're going to start all this stuff. And I think more importantly, Freddie, how they're going to ramp up to training camp.
Right.
What are they going to do? Are they going to say, okay, it's agreed to. There's going to be a week-long period where they're going to say, like, OTAs or something for the players while we do free agency. or, you know, give us a week-long grace period for teams to address their own free agents. You try to re-sign your own free agents, and then unrestricted free agency occurs at that point while training camp starts. You can't just say, you know, July 10th, CBA is agreed to, July 11th, training camp. Well, you can't do that. You need time. These players are going to have to be on the field, I think, for a period of time in shorts, you know, like an OTA.
Right.
Before they can start training camp. Those rules, to me, I find, you know, are they going to do anything with roster limitations? You know, you're going to allow for bigger rosters.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that I think that are going to be the most interesting. I think we're going to have a CBA. I think we know pretty much what those parameters are. And I think, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Fred. To most people, do you care if it's 60% of the gross, you know, after that billion is taken off, or 48% of total revenue?
Could care less.
I couldn't care less.
No.
You know, and whatever they decide on, that's fine. That's for them.
Right.
But I do think what we're going to have to look forward to throughout the remainder of July and into August remains to be seen, and that's going to be new because we've never experienced anything like
this. Yeah, I want to get free agency going. I want to get training camp going.
Right.
And, you know, I don't care about the preseason games, but I know they have to have them.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't mind if it dragged on for a few more weeks. maybe axe a preseason game. I mean, I know that makes money for the league. I know those games, they're meaningless for us, but they're not meaningless to the players and to the owners because they do make money off of them.
Mike Silver writes in, this is via strippers, despite a breakdown in communication and trust that boiled over last week, the two sides are closer to an agreement than many people realize, perhaps than even some of the people involved realize. That the respective negotiating teams hung in amid the negativity and held a marathon session Thursday and a shorter one on Friday was a deceptively positive sign. As the owners and players prepare to reconvene this week in New York City following the 4th of July holiday, a deal is very much there for the making. And if NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, NFL Player Association Executive Director Demora Smith, and their respective table mates can pull it off in the next few weeks, they'll all be heroes, and this lost offseason will be forgiven and forgotten before you can say fantasy draft.
Is it me, or did that paragraph seem a little contradictory?
Let's see.
If they could pull it off in the next few weeks, sort of didn't jibe with the beginning of it, that seemed to think the marathon session on Thursday was a deceptively good thing.
Well, like you said, I think there's still a lot of I's that need to be dotted and T's crossed. So even if they came to a deal at the end of this week, it would take.
But isn't everybody assuming that in the next 3 weeks it's going to be done?
Well, yeah. I think so.
So,
yeah.
What's the bulletin?
Well, no, but I think that some people have written.
And how can it be closer than even some of the people involved believe?
Right.
So, in other words, he's talking to one owner who's saying some of these owners don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
That ain't good to me.
That's true.
Right? He's got to have someone that he's getting his information from. I assume it's an owner.
I think Michael Silver talks to a few owners, yeah.
Michael Silver's excellent.
Yeah.
With his contacts and whatnot. I mean, I don't like his style, but he's certainly as connected as any of these guys are. Very, very much connected.
So what you're saying is that you'd be surprised if they don't get it done within the next few weeks.
Stunned if it's not done by the, I don't know, July 20th?
Yeah.
Stunned. Based on everything, and I'm only going off of what
right.
I read.
And that's the thing, you know, we don't read everything, but I know there are some people who wrote, oh, you know, they're trying to, you know.
The sky is falling
exactly.
Routine? Absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
You know, Chris Collinsworth, I'm going to take a job as a high school football coach because there isn't going to be a season.
Right. And then on the other hand, you had a guy locally here saying the deal's done, you know, any day now.
Who said that?
Guy up north. And the Eagle has landed.
Newspaper. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Bill Burt.
Oh, is that his name?
Billy Burt.
Yeah.
No, we should listen.
Yeah.
You write something like that and you're wrong. You're subject to,
right.
to criticism.
Right. You know? So you get both ends of the spectrum. Let's see. Ken writes in. Hey, Ken. Whenever the discussion goes to outside linebacker, there seems to be a great deal of ambivalence when Cunningham is discussed. Personally, I thought he did a remarkable job, especially when you consider that he rarely played standing up in college and never in coverage. Plus, he missed almost the entire training camp.
The latter part is why I am not giving up on him. I think that's a very important element to a rookie. And he did miss significant time in preseason.
Yet, despite all that, he managed to play very solidly and showed progress as the season wore on. Haven't you guys learned from the Brusky-Vrabel experiences? It usually takes several years for an outside linebacker to mature in the Pats system. Did you suddenly think that Cunningham was going to come in his first year and become spectacular?
No.
Why the hate? Well, maybe not hate.
No one hates.
But why the lack of excitement? I'm really looking forward to seeing how far he has progressed in his second year. Evidently, you guys aren't. Do you know something the rest of us don't?
I didn't see any explosiveness from him.
Well,
that's why there's a lack of excitement. I think he could be a solid, everyday, you know, run-of-the-mill kind of player. I didn't see the explosiveness that, you know, say Willie McGinnis would show you in his prime, or you know, even Rosie when he first got here. More of that admittedly was in training camp. I didn't see that kind of ability to rush the passer. Can he be, a starter for the Patriots for the next 5, 6, 7 years? Yeah, probably. Absolutely. I don't know if he's going to be that, you know, dominant edge rusher that the Patriots lead. And if it takes him several years to develop, that's too late. Tom Brady's not going to be around for longer than several more years.
Right. And I just think that, look, I'll speak for me personally. Of course I'm really, really excited to see what he can do in his second year, but nothing he did in his first year has really told me one way or the other how he's going to be.
That's perfectly I agree.
I don't think he's a bust.
He did nothing to tell me he's a bust.
Right.
And he did nothing to tell me that he's DeMarcus Ware.
But I hope he progresses. I think he's got, you know, the body size to do it. We'll see. But I don't know one way or the other yet. You know, like I'm trying to think of a guy who in his first year we were like, oh, I can't wait, because we saw the flashes of brilliance.
As a pass rusher, there's probably not that many here
right.
that we could think of. But there's been a lot of young pass rushers that make an immediate impact.
Any position, you know.
Oh, well, Devin McCourty.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, any position. Rob Gronkowski.
Yep.
You know, what's he going to be?
Right.
You know, if he's this good now, what's he going to be?
Right.
When he learns how to play.
That gets me excited.
Yeah.
You know, that's this kind of stuff. You know, it's tangible evidence that, wow, this guy has a big upside. We don't know with Cunningham right now. We have no idea.
And that's, again, I didn't see anything that said that he's going to be a bust.
Right.
I think.
There's no hate.
No hate at all.
No hate, Ken.
He made a few plays, but.
You know, the biggest play he made was hitting, Manning's
arm.
That
was a good play.
You know,
that was, he had good pressure on that play. If I saw plays like that on a consistent basis, they didn't, you know, no sack,
right.
No quarterback sack there.
Right.
But if I saw constant pressure or consistent pressure, I would say, yeah, this guy's going to be good. When he learns a little bit more and, he develops some moves and some angles and learns the tackles with more film study, he's going to be a double-digit, you know, 15-sack guy.
Yeah,
I didn't see that from him last year.
And we did see a lot of him, you know, getting held up at the line of scrimmage and kind of dancing with, you know, the blocker. You know, his hot breath wasn't felt on the quarterback enough.
Wow, his hot breath.
We're not looking for sacks on every play.
No.
But we are looking for pressure.
No, and it's not about the number of quarterback sacks to me. It's about the impact that he has in the game. And he didn't look like – there were a lot of games last year that I just flat out didn't notice him. And that's not a good thing for an outside linebacker.
Let's see. Stripper says that he received a tweet who sent, a direct message to strippers. This is a PFW fan with inside info.
Oh, this is a stripper's?
Yeah, so let me just clarify that this could be anyone and it could be bogus. But he said, in actuality, the deal will be done next week. The free agency begins, and by the 17th, the 24th, free agency will be in full swing with camp starting the 24th. So that's what this person says to
That's interesting.
Stripper.
That's before it was scheduled to start. It's
right.
going to start.
It's going to start earlier this
earlier
year.
Than it was supposed
right.
to.
Well, I guess if he's including when rookies start.
Or yeah, if he's talking about the Bears and whoever is playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
They start a week before everybody else.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I think the 25th was the day that I've seen for the Patriots were supposed to have started camp.
Greg writes in from the billing department. Hey, Kevin, tell Paul that a good way to learn how to type with the iPhone is to slide his finger on the keyboard when trying to type. The letter number symbol that his finger is on will raise from the screen, and that can help until he figures out how his hands work with it. Tell him not to hold his finger there for too long, or it will show all variations to that letter number symbol. Sounds more complicated to me than just pecking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't use it to type on all that often, but I do have. There have been times where I've been wanting to do an email, and it's more than just one line that I'm like, I'll just wait till I get on my computer.
Christian in Denmark on the Facebook says that here is Fred, a.k.a. Jake Steele's hit list. Number one is Hitler, check. Two is Saddam, check. Three, Osama, check. And then four and five, he has Woody Johnson and Justin Bieber. They wouldn't be up there. Yeah, I don't. Woody Johnson's harmless.
I was going to say, I don't think he is a guy.
No.
You know, if a guy like Jerry Jones was the owner of the Jets,
right.
I could see you saying, I hate that guy.
Oh, right. I think,
even though I don't hate Jerry Jones.
I mean, I don't even put him up there, but if I had to pick somebody from the Jets in management, Mike Tannenbaum would definitely be above Woody Johnson.
Seems a little bit loathsome.
Yeah. But I think Bill Polian,
Eric-like.
Bill Polian would be above Woody Johnson, you know, for me. And
he would definitely need to be on that hit list.
And Justin Bieber, I have nothing against Justin Bieber. I really don't, you know, except for his skinny jeans. But no, I mean, the kid's actually pretty talented. I don't know a lot of his stuff, but I guess he's pretty talented, and, you know. Anybody that can do what he's doing, you got to give him credit.
Hey, I mean, I'm sure he's a little douche, just like all the rest of them. But I don't hold anything against him.
No. So there's other people on my list way above Woody Johnson and Justin Bieber. Way above.
So you're going to be the next JT, Justin Timberlake?
He could be
like a crossover, like. Quasi actor, pop star.
That's another guy, Justin Timberlake, who I've really
grown to
respect.
Awesome.
He's really good. He's in everything he does, he's good. You know?
Yeah, he was Saturday Night Live. His work on Saturday Night Live is fantastic.
Excellent stuff. When he's what is he like? The big marshmallow?
Well, it depends what the restaurant is or the store that he's promoting.
Right.
And he's like
it's good stuff. Good stuff, and he was good.
He was the last one. He was liquor. It was a liquor store. Come on down to Liquor World.
I missed that one, but he was good in Facebook.
Right? You're laughing at in there.
I even like him in the commercials with Peyton Manning.
I watched it. It was very good.
Yeah. You know the ping pong commercial with Peyton Manning. I like those too.
Yeah, Peyton Manning isn't in a lot of bad commercials.
Peyton Manning's very good. Oh, I don't like the Oreo ones with him and his brother.
Well, it's kind of a stupid
premise. I don't like his brother. I want to slap his brother in the face.
Cut that meat!
Sam, his brother, you know, meat. Peyton Manning is not the most charismatic guy to begin with.
Right.
His brother has one-tenth of Peyton's charisma.
No. I want to slap him.
I don't have anything against him, but he's not anywhere near as engaging as
Peyton
is.
Oh, that dumb, stupid look.
He does have a dumb
look. And, you know, that dumb, stupid look beat us. He's on the list. Put him on the list.
And there you have it.
He's on the list.
You get to the basis of the hate.
Right.
Embrace the hate in 08. You know, speaking of that.
Yeah.
I just mentioned 08 out of nowhere. One item that sort of bothers me a little bit. I don't know if you noticed. Derek Mason was one who... Before the unveiling of the top player, he thought that it should have been Peyton Manning or Ed Reed, 1-2, Brady, 3. Fine, you know, whatever. To each his own, his opinion, whatever. But part of his reasoning for Peyton Manning is we already saw what happens if Brady is out. That team still went 11-5 without him. And, you know, what would the Colts be without Manning? I hate that argument. You know, forgetting all of the different reasons I've many times said to you, 11-5 in 08 was 5 games worse than that team was the previous year. That, to me, is a significant drop-off from Brady to Castle. And that's of no fault of Castle. The team wasn't that good. You saw just how important Brady was. It was a 5-game difference. That's a lot.
Right.
Okay, I'm not even talking about that. How do we know what the Colts would be? I don't think the Colts would be very good. It seems to me that Manning does everything for that team. I don't think the Colts would be a very good team. But the fact of the matter is, I just don't know because it's never happened He's never missed a season. If he missed a season and they went 2-14, then you can make that argument.
And I think a lot of people base it on that one game where he got hurt or had to come out for whatever
reason. Right, they took him out and they took all the rest of the starters out too.
And Curtis Painter came in and just was horrible. But that wasn't a
good... what's lost in that is they took everybody else out too.
It wasn't a good example. It wasn't a real simulation at all, you know?
And I do think that part of it is Belichick is just that much better as a coach, and they were able to get past the fact that they didn't have Brady. And I think if Hoyer had to take over for the Patriots, I don't think it would be a total disaster. I don't think Hoyer is as good even as Matt Castle was. But I don't think it would be a total disaster because Belichick would still be here. He'd find a way to do enough. Now, I don't think they'd be a Super Bowl threat or anything without Brady, but I think they would find a way to win games. That doesn't mean Brady's not great. I hate that argument.
And also, you know, we talk about how great a talent evaluator Bill Polian is, and he is. There's some good players on that Colts team besides Peyton Manning.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players, and if you had a guy that could coach and sort of coach around a little bit the inefficiency that you would have at quarterback, how do you know what they could do? Yeah. You know, maybe they play a style of defense that coincides with their offense. You know they're going to score points, so they don't play a certain way. I don't know. I just think everything changes. You don't know how you're going to react to that situation until you're in it. I personally don't think the Colts would be a playoff team without Peyton Manning. I think they would stink. So I'm not trying to say I'm being a contrarian, but the fact of the matter is we really don't know. Everybody would have thought that about the Patriots too.
Right. There's no. It's speculation.
You know, what if the Patriots went 11-5 in 07 and they finished five games worse in 08?
Right.
Do you think people would look at it the same way?
Right. Breaking news says strippers about the Casey Anthony trial. In 45 minutes, we'll know the verdict. Am I the only one that's, like, not up to date with this Casey Anthony? I didn't even know was going on until yesterday.
Well, you were away. It got really big last week. I mean, it's been big for, like, 2 years.
Is this another woman who killed her kids?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's an old story.
Yeah.
But the trial is just taking place now.
Yeah.
And finally, I guess the verdict is due today. But, I mean... they couldn't kill her enough times for my liking.
Let's see.
She basically just decided, I'm going to kill my kid because I want to be a... I want a part. I was going to use a bad word.
Oh, is this the one that...
Yeah, she just... She was a young teenager. I think she was a teenager when she had the baby.
Oh, okay.
And just didn't want to stop being a teenager.
On Dateline? Was this the Dateline
probably,
story?
But she just wanted to continue to go out and go to clubs and get drunk and hook up with guys. And there was even stories about her, like, turning tricks and whatnot.
Yep.
And she basically killed her kid, so she continued that, you know.
Yep.
As Vince Vaughn said in Old School, excuse me, earmuffs, that whore.
Right. using Paul's July 20th signing date, wholehearted welcome back, Fred. Way to be at the post, Paul. Hope you both had a great 4th of July. Using your July 28th ending of the lockout, here's how I see the schedule fall.
20th.
July 20th. Here is how I see the schedule falling. July 20th, the lockout ends. 23rd, players report. The 20th through the 30th, teams are allowed to re-sign their own free agents and sign unrestricted free agents. July 23rd to 27th are OTAs. July 29th, camp opens. August 1st through 12th is free agency. August 15th to September 3rd are three preseason games. Teams are allowed to carry 80 players until September 3rd. Teams are allowed to carry 58 players until after week 3. That's a good...
I think all of that is plausible, except I don't think there'll be any restrictions on unrestricted free agency. I think you'll be able to sign unrestricted free agents whenever you want.
Right. Let's see. Fat Pat says, didn't Manning throw 11 interceptions and 4 picks, sixes in a 3-game span?
Yeah.
I don't even believe Manning was top 10 in 2011.
Oh, well, then you're wrong.
So, let's go to the phones, 508-298-0398. Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing. How you doing?
What's up, Anthony?
Oh, pretty good. I'm here to argue with Paul because, once again, being all judgmental you are, Casey Anthony is a lovely young lady that's just misunderstood.
Oh, you are correct.
Actually,
you know, she's just very sharing, that's all.
Actually, if Paul was being his usually contrarian self, he would have been like, well, you know, she deserves her free time.
Oh, isn't she a whack job?
I'm not.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a contrarian.
Complete Fruit Loop, if you've ever seen her.
I have not ever seen her. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be able to pick her out of a lineup.
Oh, really? I guess, maybe, yeah, obviously here in Florida it's been a big deal.
Oh, it is a big deal, but like Fred, I've sort of tuned it out. It is a very big deal nationwide, absolutely.
Yeah, there was just a couple of things they showed in the trial. She's just a complete whack job. They should throw her the book, but they don't have enough, I think, to put her for the first, I guess, degree. But it is what it is. But anyways, I called. You know why, Paul?
Yeah.
Because you forgot to make the point, too, is that in that year of 2008, that was probably the weakest schedule in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was a blessing. It was a blessing to be 11-5 because of the schedule.
And to your point, Anthony, when they did play decent teams,
they lost.
They lost.
And more often than not, weren't competitive.
All five of those were losses.
Right.
And there were games like the Pittsburgh game that was,
San Diego,
34-13 or whatever.
Right.
You know, they weren't really competitive when they played playoff caliber teams.
Right.
Yeah, and God bless Castle. He did a great job, but saw it. He was overwhelmed in those games. You know, you could see like the teams kind of like knew what to do against him, and he just really didn't have the answers. You know, like you saw, it was like night and day compared to the teams that weren't prepared. Those 11 other wins, but you know, it was a good. It wasn't a good year, but it was kind of fun seeing it without.
It was an interesting season for a lot of reasons, and I give the Patriots, in their entirety, a ton of credit for being able to be that competitive. But you're right. It was a weak schedule. And remember, they had some tooth pulls with bad teams that season. The St. Louis Rams came in here and very, very nearly beat the Patriots. I believe that was the season. I think we played the NFC West. Yeah, we went out to San Francisco. Yeah, that was the year we went out twice.
Right.
Seattle was a terrible team. They went out there and they beat on a Brandon Merriweather blitz.
Right.
When they were about 5 yards away from
Seneca
field goal.
Seneca Wallace
range.
Almost.
Backup quarterback, three win team.
Right.
They almost beat us.
Right.
The Rams came here and almost beat us. We had some really tough games with bad teams. And all that said, I give Matt Castle a ton of credit because, as Anthony said, he was overwhelmed for the first month or so of the season. And by the end of the year, that offense looked very, very familiar to me. They put 49 points up in Miami, if you remember that game down the stretch. They just crushed the Dolphins down there. They did a good job. And they certainly, 11-5 is nothing to be ashamed about without your quarterback.
Yeah, and that season, Josh McDaniels should be thankful of that season, too, because that put a lot of money in his bank account, being able to have that in his resume.
Yeah, I agree.
But that was pretty much it. I just thought you forgot that point, and I just give you guys a call. And Fred, please don't ever have B-Lo on again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, B-Lo took a lot of heat,
poor
Freddie.
B-Lo. Okay,
B-Lo took
thanks,
a lot
Anthony.
Of heat.
That's too bad. Steven, speaking of that, writes in, he's from at the Travis Air Force Base in California. He says, just wondering if you guys plan on making a PFW Google Plus page. Now, have you heard of Google Plus?
No.
Google Plus is the new competitor to Facebook. So we'll have to look into that. Obviously, the usage isn't anywhere near Facebook yet, but we'll keep our eye on Google Plus. I hope so. It looks like it will challenge, if not eventually conquer Facebook, says Steven. If you'd like, I'll send
you. What does that do that Facebook doesn't?
It's basically the same thing.
Oh.
In fact, you can.
So why will it conquer?
From what I read, you can actually make your page almost look just like Facebook.
Okay, I did see there was something. Maybe that's what it is. There was something I read about that you can sort of make your own page.
Yeah.
You could design your own, and
that's probably Google Plus.
I don't think it was Google Plus.
No.
But it was something else.
Anyway, if you like, I can send you guys an invite once I get mine. Yeah, we'll take a look. And by the way, keep B-Lo off the air. He takes away from the lulls, L-U-L-Z, you guys bring. I don't know what that means.
The lulls.
Too focused on football. Anyway, have a good day.
Oh, in other words, the tangents that we go off on.
Okay.
It's funny. Who'd have thought, Freddie, when we started doing those, talking about the Nut Wizard and all the other infomercials that you watch, and who'd have thought that fans would be clamoring for more of that from us? Remember when we first started?
Sure.
Just stick to football. Remember?
Right.
We get criticized for that?
Yep. Michelle in Panama City, Florida. Sorry, I can't stand CBA talk. What did you think about the Ray Lewis opening? Well, Paul mentioned it. He's just the way he thought it would be. He was like a preacher.
He was very good.
Do you think Ray deserved his fourth place in the list? I feel he's got enough inspiration-wise with his teammates in his career history to get his fourth place. Last and not least, don't you want Brady to just once revel in something he gets, something like, darn right, I'm first, instead of complimenting Peyton? Missed you, Freddie. Missed some of the show, so I don't know if you already spoke about this. Well, we did. Well, I think that's just the way Brady is, you know?
Yeah, I really think that in a lot of ways that's genuine. I know that he and Peyton Manning are very close. I know people probably wouldn't want to hear that, but he said it in that interview, and I believe it to be the case. I think they like and respect each other an awful lot, and I think that they have a pretty close relationship in terms of rival players. I did think Ray Lewis at number four was a little high. He was the highest defensive player. That's too high for me, I think. I don't know how you feel about it. It was supposed to be 2011.
Then it's too high.
And you know, I don't know. Did Ray Lewis get any consideration for defensive player of the year last year?
No.
So I'm not really sure. So I guess in that regard, I said I wasn't surprised about Brady because he was the reigning NFL MVP. That's a point in your favor for being surprised because, I mean, Troy Polamalu was the defensive player of the year, right? Well, why he didn't even come in fifth?
Well, you know what, though? But the fact that Ray Lewis was that high tells you that it is more about the respect of the peer type vote.
It was the players.
Right, instead of based on just facts and stats and things like that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the other thing that Ray Lewis has going for them, and don't dismiss it, it's the whole you thing. There's so many Miami guys in the league, and those guys are so respected.
Yep.
I think that he probably
helps Brandon Merriweather when it comes Pro Bowl time.
Yeah, and Ed Reed was two. Yeah. I mean, Ed Reed was five, you know, the second defensive player.
Brad has a clarification to his July 20th signing date thing. He says July 20th through 30th, teams are allowed to re-sign their own free agents and sign unrestricted free agents. The unrestricted free agent is for undrafted rookie free agents, not unrestricted free agents. Okay. So you have that little period that usually comes right after the draft.
I agree. There'll be a time that they can sign undrafted free agents and re-sign their own free agents. I agree. But I think that once free agency opens, whatever date that is, you know, whether it's 2 weeks after the CBA is agreed to or 1 week after the CBA is agreed to, I don't think there'll be a close to that. Whenever it opens, if it opens July 27th, it's open from that point on. You can sign free agents.
Right.
As long as they're available.
Yep. Mazzy from the A. What's the A? Anaheim?
The big A is Anaheim. Right?
Is it?
They used to call the old stadium there
A? It must be Atlanta because he says, I live in SEC country.
Oh, it must be Atlanta.
And watched a ton of Florida games. Cunningham just didn't have the same explosiveness I saw in college. I wonder if he was fully recovered from the calf injury.
Another fair point. You know, we just say that he missed time and that hurt him. Physically, it may have hurt him. That's a good point.
The same injury flared up late in the season. I hope that was the problem because he certainly lacked the first step I saw in college. So, yeah, that could be. You never know with these guys, especially on this team, if, you know, what you're seeing there is a guy that's at 100%. You just never know. In the sport of football, guys are always banged up.
Right.
Pierre in Paris says, Paul.
Pierre, Robespierre.
Thank you, Paul. I absolutely hate the argument. He's talking about the one, what would this Colts be without Manning? As they are judging a player on his backup and supporting cast, screw all idiots who make that argument.
Yeah, I think that's another point. That's another element of the argument. I mean, because the Patriots maybe were more equipped to handle life without Brady, it means Brady's not as good. That shouldn't be held against him. But my overriding factor is Manning has never missed a game. How do we know what the Colts? We don't really know for a fact what the Colts would be.
Right.
We've seen a lot of great players over the years go down, and teams are somehow able to get by. You know, I mean, look at all the injuries that Green Bay had last year.
Sure. Greg from the billing department says that the big A is probably Alabama, as their
Could
symbol
be.
Is the A.
Could be.
Yeah. So I don't know.
SEC country, absolutely, could be. Yeah, because really, Atlanta's not SEC country.
Let's see, and Tom in Bedford educates us. He says, lulz, L-U-L-Z, is net slang for LOLs, which is laugh out louds.
Okay.
Lulls.
Lulls.
So why aren't they LOLs?
I don't know.
So we have a slang for a slang.
For slang. And for some reason, it's not the same.
And it's more letters.
And it's not the same.
Right.
Yeah, I don't get that. But, you know, it's not for me, Freddie. It's for the youngins.
I won't bore you with the etymology. Just chalk it up, another one up to the de-evolution of English. So.
All right.
Okay. If you can't spell it with two thumbs, it's not a word anymore, I guess.
But you do make a good point. It's slang of slang, and it's more letters.
Right.
So where is the benefit? Although I suppose, based on his email, there is an etymology there that we just don't know.
Right. Okay.
Can I have the language of origin, please?
Tyler.
Do the chickens have large talons?
Tyler in Georgia says, Jake Steele versus the skinny jeans of Justin Bieber. If that's not a blockbuster, I don't know what is. I'm going to fight his skinny jeans? What does that mean?
I don't know, Freddie.
I think it means Bieber in his skinny
jeans. Did you fight any crime during your vacation, or was everybody behaving?
Trying to think if I was upset. There was one intersection at Swarthmore College that twice there were accidents that backed up everything.
So you had to get out and give them what
for?
Well,
you think they might at some point want to do something with that intersection, maybe put a light in.
Fair point by
you.
Fair point by you.
You know, we were there for a few days.
So Fred stormed City Hall at Swarthmore College.
Two accidents at the same intersection. You might want to do something about that. Huh? You think? I don't know.
Could you do something about that? Huh?
All I know is I spent 5 days walking around with a stupid Playmate cooler that weighed 10 pounds or 20, I don't know how many.
Was it pounds. Full? Was it full of beer?
Full of, no, I wish it was.
Were you allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, you should have then.
Have beer?
Yeah.
You could have tailgated the game.
Probably would have been inappropriate.
I think that would have been frowned upon.
At this establishment!
But I got to tell you, the first game they had, they played against this team called the New York City Empires.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And they had
see what they did there.
They had one of the fathers, I mean, this guy was he had the wife beater undershirt with the shirt over it, but unbuttoned, and then the big gold chain.
Oh yeah, so basically you're saying he was from New York, but what you really mean, he was a Goomba.
Well.
So what'd you say? What you're gonna say?
So he's
get it out because we all know it's okay to make fun of Italians.
So he's on the sideline, and I guess his son's name was Artie. So he's like the whole game.
Arthur,
Artie,
Arthur.
Artie, no, Artie, it's all you, Artie. I know you don't want to hear it, Artie, but it's all you. You got to do it. Oh, and he was just up and down the sideline. This guy was unbelievable. And then, you know, like there's five fields all around, and the next day we're playing.
You could hear him on the
other field. You could hear him. Artie! Oh, my God. The poor Artie.
Was he any good?
He was okay. They weren't that good a team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he was probably the best kid on that
team.
So
we beat them.
Yeah, we beat them.
We beat that team.
Yeah. We started off strong. But
personnel decisions.
We had some personnel defections and couldn't win a faceoff. That kills you, lacrosse.
I tell you, you can't get into the two-way game.
Yeah, you can't get any momentum if after every goal
you can't get any runs going, Kevin. If you can't win the faceoff, then you can't put goals together.
Now, Kevin,
did you
run the 10K here over the weekend?
I ran the event. I did not run the
You ran
race.
The event. You
yes.
were in charge of the event.
Pretty much.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
The stadium is still standing.
Yeah, it was a long day yesterday with that and the revs at night, Freddie.
Wow, yeah, you had a long day. Not a great 4th of July.
No. So 6 a.m. call and then got out of here about 11 last night.
Now, do you get, like, somebody say, hey, you know, take off a day down the road for this or something like that?
I think so.
I think when someone gets hired, that might be a possibility.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
We need to replace Doug.
I'd like to take Thursday off, but I'll stick out the show and then take off after the show on Thursday.
Well, you just told me on the air.
Well, no, but I can't tell you the reason why. I'll tell you off the air. It's very top secret. It's very sensitive.
Oh.
Something big happening on Thursday.
Is it work-related?
It's not work-related.
You getting married?
Nope.
Married?
You and getting engaged?
No. It's definitely not.
So it's not work-related.
You can't get married on this salary?
It's sports-related, but not Patriots-related.
You're going to go drinking with Marshawn?
Something similar to that effect.
Oh, you're going to see the cup?
Something similar to that effect.
Well, it didn't take us long to figure that out, huh?
Perhaps drink out of the cup, if I'm lucky.
Okay, so you didn't have to tell us off the air, did you?
I can tell you more specifics off the air, Fred. I'm sorry. It was kind of like the cock and take drop. I don't know if I should say this. Okay, I'm just going to.
cock.
Look, if you want to take a day, you can take a day. You just got to make sure you're covered. That's all.
I know. So what?
There's no one to cover.
So what I plan on doing is I'll come in the morning like usual. I'll do the show. Then after the show, I'll take off and go explore.
Yeah, that's fine. Where's the cup going to be?
That's what I can't tell you.
Oh, so you don't want other people to find out?
No, it's a
sounds like it might be in like a private place.
Yeah, it's like a personal connect. It's not like it's going to be on display.
Oh,
so it won't be.
It won't be appearing at the cock and take.
No, and it won't be like, you know, one of those kind of things like at the Hall of Fame where you just go for a brief second and get your picture taken next to it.
Yeah.
It'll be like, you know, being able to lift it up and down and drink out of it and all that good stuff.
While I was in Pennsylvania, we went to this place called Peddler's Village, which is like this village of all these unique stores. And so we were killing time, so we walked around there. One of the restaurants goes to the Cock and Bull. And so I couldn't. They're all over the place.
And then you have no one there to explain how funny
right.
that is.
No one understands it.
And they're like, really, Fred? Are we still in the fifth grade? Well, Andy thinks it's very funny.
Tyler in Georgia says again, oh, no, that was just an old email that I already read. Rob writes in, maybe you guys should read Reddit or FARC, two news amalgamation sites with forums. In the morning to keep up with the latest news and internet memes. They even cover sports. Just an FYI, no need to read on the air. Well, I already did. I use on my iPad, I use a app called Zite, Z-I-T-E, which you can create your own personal magazine. You choose from different categories, and it goes out to the web and pulls back stories and lays it out like a magazine. I enjoy that.
All right. Yeah.
I enjoy that, and I also use Flipboard, which a lot of people on the iPad use. And I use another app on my iPhone called My Sixth Sense, which does the same thing. You kind of choose categories and it pulls back news for you. Reddit, I've heard of. FARC, though, I haven't. I'll check it out.
FARC!
I'll check it out. I'm not interested in the forums, though. I don't want to talk to anybody.
He's a talk show host. I don't want to talk to anybody.
Not when I'm reading my news. I don't care to discuss.
I agree. I'm just kidding.
My news.
It's like
with
people trying to bug you when you're trying to read your paper.
Well, it's just like, you know, and
it's true. You're right.
Those comment sections after stories, I've said it before, they're absolutely ridiculous. There's like people that sit in their homes and they're just waiting to just pounce on stories. You know, you get the story about the puppies being born, and five posts later, it's about abortion.
It's true. You just want to sit there and read your PFW.
I just love when Fred goes on that rant.
No, I'm about to swear. These a-holes that, you know, they have to comment on every little thing.
There you go. Here's the cup.
On TV, they've got the cup. It looks like Kevin Collins.
Yosemite.
So.
Is this show over yet?
So every player gets to have, what, 24 hours with the cup or something like that?
Pretty much, yep.
How did they get it from one player to the next player?
Well, that's what
that guy with the hair.
Oh, that guy with the 70s hairdo?
Yes. He brings it around, but what I've come to kind of understand and learn is
so you have to live at your house? How does that work?
You have to put in like a request.
Right.
All right. And so then what happens is, you know, some players want it abroad, you know, they're from Europe or wherever, Canada. And so they try to, you know, obviously group those players together. You know, Timmy Thomas is from Michigan, so if there was anybody around that, you would try to obviously group it together on a back-to-back day to prevent
wherever the guy wants to go with it.
Yeah, so then what they do is after you get from each guy where they want the cup for their day, then they put together like a schedule.
I see.
An itinerary, if
you
will.
And then you get notified. You know, you probably get a choice of like two or three or four days, and hopefully you can pick one of those days and it fits into this.
And so that blonde hair, the guy with the blonde feathered hair comes with his white gloves.
With his gloves.
Yes, I believe he's the one who transports it.
And
it'll be awkward for Michael Ryder.
What, does he stay at a nearby hotel or you have to put him up?
I would assume they get put up at a hotel.
Okay.
I don't think you'd be staying.
That's not a bad job, actually.
No, it's actually kind of cool. You get to see a lot of different places.
And if they have a big party, I assume you get invited.
Oh, yeah. I think he has to pretty much follow
I assume you
around.
Get invited.
You know, you pick up girls. You know, you walk around with your white gloves. That's impressive. You get your feathered hair from the 70s.
Maybe a little chest hair?
Well, I don't know. He's probably shaving. Brooklyn Matt writes in. Well, you don't want that hair getting all over the cup.
I'm sorry.
I did a little home improvement again.
Manscaping?
The other day.
I got a couple of projects I need to get done.
My dryer vent. Ooh. Wasn't really working, so it was taking a long time. So I went back there, pulled the dryer out, and you know, the hose was just full of that sludge, water and lint.
Water?
Yeah.
Lint. Yeah, water.
Because the lint is moist, and it just it sits there and settles. So I emptied that out, and then there was a couple leaks. Had to seal those up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took care of that.
Brooklyn Matt says, Fred, if you thought Artie's dad was the loud New York Goomba, you should have been down here last night. The 4th of July in Brooklyn looks and sounds like downtown Beirut, for Christ's sake. Fireworks in the hands of Brooklyn Goomba fathers is a recipe for testosterone hell on earth. Speaking of which, I wonder how Andy's Cro-Magnon bonfire went. I bet he was at his knuckle-dragging best. Andy had a bonfire?
I believe so, yeah. Andy's a firework guy.
On his property?
Well, where else? No, I'm not sure if he does that or maybe at his mother's cottage there, the summer house.
They have a summer house?
Yeah.
Where?
Westport.
Wow, he's loaded, huh?
With the boat, with the yacht.
Really? Well, what are you going to do? Some people have it all handed to them. Other people, like you and me, Paul, we got to work for it.
And me.
You, that's true. You did work for it. Yeah. You have it all, but you did work for it.
I got nothing.
Growing up on
Mark Cuban just tried to give Cape it to Cod. Him all, but he didn't want it. Freddie wanted to take the
Yeah, I didn't know about that until a couple weeks ago. Had I known. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Unfortunately, I won't be here Thursday. I got another tournament. But Paul, I don't know who will be here Thursday.
I'll be here, and probably Andy.
Andy will be here. AK-47 will be here. And Lindsay Petrucci.
Yeah, she may stop by.
Here.
Yeah.
And Paul has run out for the bathroom, so I'll see you later.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.